I would like to ask you, if you have your Bible, if you would join me in the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And while you're turning, I just again thank God for the opportunity to be able to go and serve in the children's church every once in a while. And it was a blessing to be with the children last week. The message I gave them was based on Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and powerful. And so I thank God for just a blessing. I thank God for parents, grandparents who bring the children and bring them, you know, to hear God's Word, to be in His presence. And so I just thank God for you and your heart. So, you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 11, I begin reading in verse 20. Very familiar passage for many of you. John 11 and verse 20. The scripture says, "And now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him." Coming means her brother had died, and his name was Lazarus. He'd been dead, and he'd been buried 4 days in a tomb. Jesus was out of town, and when he came back into town, he went to the place of Lazarus' burial. He knew Lazarus, he was his friend, and one of the sisters went to meet Jesus there in verse 20. And the Bible says this, "Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'Well, I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Verse 25, Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.'" Let me pause there a second. I always want to give a little bit of explanation here and always give the opportunity for not only those of us here, but maybe someone watching or listening. Jesus said, "If you believe in me, even though you die, you'll live again." Then in the very next breath, he said, "If you believe in me, you'll never die." Well, Lord, which is it? Am I going to never die? I'll take the never die. That's fine. But never die. But the Bible speaks of two different types of death. Physical death, we're all familiar, separation of the spirit from the body. But the greater death is a spiritual death, because the spiritual death caused the physical. And spiritual death is separation from God, because he is the ultimate source of life. And our sins, I said our, we've all fallen short. Sin is in our heart. That's the problem. It's our heart. That's why we sin. It's not just, well, I did something wrong, I became a sinner. I was born and had that nature. And so Jesus came to, when he says something like, in fact, let me read those next few words right there. He says, verse 26, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" That's something that every one of us really need to answer personally from our own heart. Do I believe what Jesus said? Because if I believe what he said, he's not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He is the Son of God clothed in human flesh, who bore my sin and our sins on the cross when he suffered and died and came back to life with resurrection power and is seated beside his Father in glory in heaven right now. So do you believe this? When we believe that truth, however it may be worded, God works a miracle. He forgives our sin. His Holy Spirit indwells us. and our future is bright. The past is gone, we're made new, and we get to walk with the Lord not only in time, but through eternity. So he asks, do you believe this? And that's a question that ultimately, when we all give account of our lives to God, that's going to be the answer that will make a difference for eternity. Yes, I believe, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior, or no, and that's not good. So do you believe this? She says in verse 26, or 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, you are the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Then if you drop down to verse 38, Jesus, again groaning in himself when he was hearing what people were saying, he came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Those four words are the message this morning. Take away the stone. Take away the stone. You say, well, what was behind the stone? A corpse? Death? Yes. But a miracle was also behind that stone. A new beginning in God's will was behind that stone. Healing. Talking about kind of like an ultimate healing in a sense of coming back to life. Healing was behind that stone. Jesus was getting ready to, in the English, it's three words, speak three words. Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man was going to come back to life and come out of that tomb wrapped in grave clothes still, kind of like a mummy. How many of you believe Jesus could have supernaturally removed that stone? He didn't need any help moving the one that had his body in for 3 days out of the way, did he? He could have called angels, shook the earth, whatever he needed to do. But he told them to take away the stone. I was thinking on this and just kind of praying. The words, take away the stone, just came to me. I was like, Lord, what truth do we live out of this? Take away the stone. And I just believe that God tests our obedience. And if he tells us to do something, his word says something, then we're to do what we can, what we're to do, our natural part, and God will come in with his supernatural part. But we can't put it all on God. We are co-laborers together, and we cooperate with God and with his will. So again, the message this morning, take away the stone. Would you turn to someone around you, tell them, take away the stone? For the glory of God, take away the stone. Let's make it personal. Is a stone hindering your miracle this morning? Is a stone hindering a new beginning, new life, something of God's will? That's the ultimate behind the stone, is it was God's will. Is anything hindering God's will today? That's the stone that needs to be removed. And so as I began, you know, I was preparing and studying, I believe it's in my heart to share three stones that will hinder us from walking the fullness of God's will. So if you're right there still in John, if you just stay there, we'll put a few verses on the screen, and I'll read a couple more verses in just a moment. But here's the first stone, the stone of unbelief. Unbelief is a stone that we must take away. One translation says, roll away the stone. Either way, get it out of the way. Get unbelief out of the way, because unbelief will hinder, first of all, it'll hinder our salvation. It'll block our salvation. But even as believers, where is it, Brother Mark? I believe, but help my. There are sometimes, aren't there areas in our lives where as believers at times, we're not believing God's going to really do that miracle. He's not really going to change this situation or change me, whatever it is. So take away the stone of unbelief. If you want to write these verses down, let me just read them to you. I'll be back with you in John there in a moment. But they're found in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. And the Word of God says this. Speaking of the people of Israel came out of Egypt but didn't make it into the promised land. Says, for who having heard, and notice how these sins are worded, rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he, the Lord, angry 40 years? Was it not those whose sin, so rebellion and sin, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Let's pause there a second. Rebellion, sin, disobedience. Worded three different ways, but verse 19 gives the root. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Isn't that something? See, unbelief is the root sin that manifests in all the other ways. Unbelief. So anytime that we do not believe the word of God, then that's going to lead us into some type of just disobedience, sin, rebellion. This is what the Bible says about the people in Jesus' hometown in Mark chapter 6. Again, I'll just read it to you and then come back. Mark chapter 6, just two verses, 5 and 6. The Bible says, now he, speaking of Jesus, now Jesus could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Notice what it says. He could do no mighty work. Now, did Jesus have the goods to do the works? But the unbelief in Jesus' hometown limited to just a few healings when he could have done so much more. Unbelief is a stone that we need to take out of the way, brothers and sisters. Take away the stone. Would you say it with me? Take away the stone. Here in John chapter 11, would you go back to verse 39? John chapter 11, verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Then Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would what? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Will you believe God today? For whatever that is, and I'm not just talking about, I want to believe God to give me $80,000 to pay my house. And let's go beyond just that type. Let's believe God, here's the key, for his will in my life. Because his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. We can't improve on God's will. Let's take away the stone of unbelief and say, Lord, I believe your word today, and I believe for your will in my life, not only in me, but through me to the glory of God. Take away the stone. Will you say it with me? Take away the stone, the second stone. Second stone. Would you join me in Matthew 18? Just a few books back, John, Luke, Mark, Matthew 18. This is a big stone. We deal with these, all three, regularly. But unbelief, I can tell you on this one, I will not move this second stone. I will not even entertain the notion of moving it if I do not remove that first one, take away that stone of unbelief. Because here's the second one, unforgiveness. So, unbelief, but unforgiveness is a stone that will stand in the way of God's miracle in our lives. Remember, Jesus said, you take it away. He's told us what to do. Now we have to exercise our will and our faith in him, believe him, and take away that stone. Let's not allow a stone of unforgiveness to hold back God's fullness, God's blessing, healing, whatever it may be. So here in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells, well, let me give you a little background. Let's go ahead and start reading at verse 21. I'm not going to read all these verses for time, but Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter asked Jesus a question. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? He might have thought, see how spiritual I am? 7 times. Is that the max? Is that okay? Then he says in verse 22, Jesus said, I didn't tell you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Now, how many of you know Jesus wasn't saying calculate? That was your 490th, buddy. You better watch it now, because next is 491, and it's getting even time. So he wasn't about math, okay? It's about our heart. And so Jesus tells a story in verse 23. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. I'm going to just update it, okay, just to make it relatable. Jesus said, I'm going to settle the accounts. And he called people to him who owed him money. One man owed him millions of dollars, millions. And it specifically says about him that he could not pay it. He was unable to pay. And since he was unable to pay, the king ordered that he, his wife, children, all that he had be sold. He would be put into what was called a debtor's prison, and the money that would come from would go toward the debt. But remember, he couldn't pay it. That's important. He could not pay the debt, so he'd have been in there forever. Then if you look at verse 26, this servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Well, he couldn't have, but he was pleading for it. Verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, moved with compassion. Would you say that with me? Moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt. What did Jesus say in our model prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. We need something to eat every day, right? And just as we need that daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive or release our debtors. That's what forgiveness is. It's the release of a debt, the release of a debtor to someone who I believe offended me. Take away the stone, unbelief. He was moved with compassion. So he goes out. This man who was just released of millions of dollars of a debt. Happy day. And he goes out, and he's a fellow servant who owes him several thousand dollars. Millions, a few thousand. Over time, that could have possibly been paid. He took him by the throat. Pay what you owe. Instant payment. He did the same thing that this man did, and he said, please be patient with me. I'm going to pay it all. But he refused and had him thrown into that debtor's prison to start paying off their debt. The fellow servants who saw it happen says they were grieved, and they went and told the king. And when they told him, then he went back to this one who had forgiven all of this debt. And the Bible says this, if you drop down still in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And please notice this. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. But wait a minute. He couldn't pay it. So he'd have been in prison for the rest of his life. Verse 35. So my heavenly Father will also do if each of you, notice again, it's about not math, it's the heart. From his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The Bible says this in Colossians 3:13. I'm going to read it to you if you want to just write it down from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, unforgiveness imprisons us. The stone is there, but we're behind the stone. If we take away that stone, then we're freed. Take away the stone. It imprisons us. The Bible says that Peter looked at a man who was a sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. And this man wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit where he could, he saw Peter and the apostles laying hands on people and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, hey, I got some money. Give me that power. How much would that cost you? Give me that power. And Peter said, your money perish with you. And here's what he said. I see that you are bound by bitterness. You are poisoned by it's bitterness and unforgiveness. It will poison us. It will poison our system. It's not just spiritual. It's not just weighing on us mentally. See, when we're in that prison of we're not going to release forgiveness to a fellow debtor after the Lord has released, we could never forgive anyone of how much God has already forgiven us. Let's just be honest. If all of us right now received what the penalty for what we for sin, none of us would even be here. We'd already be separated from God forever. But His mercy, and I know it's a battle of the heart, the will. And man, Satan will try to magnify that thing, and it'll grow and grow. That's why the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't go to bed angry, because if you go to bed angry, nor give place to the devil, it gives him an opportunity, makes for a bad night's sleep. He working in our mind, working in our heart. Take away the stone of unbelief. Take away the stone. Would you again tell somebody next to you, take away the stone. We do it out of love. Take away the stone. So not only will unforgiveness poison us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that many become defiled. See, we don't keep that poison in us. We let others know what someone did to us. Here's the problem. Many times, and it's, we can hide it under prayer requests. You pray for some. And I know you want to be close enough to certain people to pray and agree on something like that. But can't we be guilty of emphasizing more what someone else has done to us than what God has done for us? If we would turn that thing around, take away the stone. And then I remember reading years ago, and I'll give you the last one. I don't remember where the tribe was, so I don't want to say, but they would eat monkey. You know, that was a meat that they would eat in their culture. But you know how they would catch the monkey? They would put a banana. It would say, if you can imagine, like a board here, and would have a hole in it like this. It was large enough for the monkey to get their arm in, but when they grabbed, so like I could do like this, but if I make a fist, I can't. They would grab the banana, but they couldn't, since their hand was in a fist, it wouldn't fit through the opening. All they would have had to do and escape to safety, but while they were holding on to the banana, the men would come up and club them to kill them to use the meat. And if we just refuse and just hold that thing, it's like the devil just, the torturers, some translations, the tormentors. But if we would just take away the stone and we're free. See, forgiveness frees us to experience the fullness of God's joy, the fullness of His blessing. Forgiveness frees us to be reconciled. Forgiveness frees us from a past. And we're not denying anything, not saying anything was light. But thank God there are new beginnings. I need a new beginning. It's not just someone else, but unforgiveness. Take away the stone. Please, let's believe God and not allow that stone to hinder our miracle, hinder new life, a new beginning, hinder the healing of our spirit, mind, emotions, and maybe even our bodies. Just real quick before I close on this one and give you the last stone. One of the services we were in, at the close of the service, I don't even know, it might not have even been close of service. Anyway, the pastor, Tim Delena of Times Square Church, was working in another state at the time, and he got a call to one of the men who served the youth in the church. And what happened was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I think, someone crashed through his window of the living room and broke into his house. And so this young man heard it. He was upstairs, and he got up and came down the steps. What he didn't know was that the intruder had gone into the kitchen and got the largest knife he could find. So when this brother met him down at the landing of the steps, he was stabbed 37 times. Pool of blood all over the place. And it's in the police report. They say it was bizarre. They could see the blood all down here, but they couldn't find any blood from where he was able to get up and walk to his neighbor's house to get them to call for help. And through the multiple, you know, procedures and surgeries, they said every stab, 37 times, missed a major organ or artery. He was there and prayed for us at that service this past week in New York. But here's what reason I said that. Because in court, he refused to hold on to that. And in front of the judge said, "Do you want to say anything to your attacker before I sentence him?" And he basically said no, but he said, "I forgive you and I love you," and let it go. That's overcoming evil with good. But do you see why? That's not human willpower, brothers and sisters. That's grace. That's why we have to believe and overcome evil with good. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Do good to those. They curse you, bless them. But do you see how we got to move the unbelief first before we move the unforgiveness? Take away the stone. Would you say it with me? Take away the stone. Now, before I give you this last one, y'all know who has to eat this first before I serve it, right? Like Gary said, I went to the altar more than once. So let's take away the stone. Believe God, release the debtor, release the debt, and forgive and receive his fullness and blessing. Then finally, not only unbelief and unforgiveness, but unhealthy fear will hold back. It will stand in the way of our miracle, maybe our healing, new life, new beginnings, reconciliation. So unbelief, unforgiveness, and then an unhealthy fear. And I'll just give you a few verses here if you want to write them down, and we'll close. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25 says this. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare. It ensnares us. It'll trap us. But whoever, I'm a whoever, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. That means protected or even exalted. See, if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will exalt us his way and his timing. So the fear of man brings a snare. There's a healthy fear, which is a holy reverence for God, being in absolute awe of him. That's a healthy fear. But an unhealthy fear, like the scripture talks about here, is, say, the fear of man. I've struggled with that before. And I don't say I'm arrived on any of these. It's a continual keeping that stone out of the way. But just like Saul, if you want to just write these scriptures down, let me just read it to you. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read these words. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Samuel, the prophet, is speaking to the first king of Israel. God told him to wipe out the Amalekites, and he didn't do it. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." You see how that cost him? He let that stone, verse 24, and Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord." Notice what he says, "and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." We can allow the fear of man, I've done it, to, we know something's wrong, we do it anyway because we're scared of how people will ridicule us, reject us, or whatever it may be. The fear of man will ensnare us in disobedience to the word of God. You right there in Matthew 18. Let me just give you final scripture. Matthew 25. Would you turn there with me? Matthew chapter 25. Because not only will the fear of man was an unhealthy fear, fear of people, how they respond. A fear of man will be a stone in the way of a miracle, potentially a new life, God's will in our lives. But the fear of failure, maybe the fear of not using what God has entrusted to us, because the Bible says this in Matthew 25. This is Jesus still speaking. He gave to three servants a certain amount of money. Two of them did something with it. The Bible says in verse 23, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who received the one, he could have done something with it. One talent, which is money, came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." And the Lord said, "You knew me. Why didn't that's being lazy, wicked?" He said, "Take that and give it to the one who's most productive." See, if we're not good stewards and managers of what God has entrusted to us, every one of us have something that we can use and do for God. And fear of failure or whatever it may be will cause us not to make the most of what God has entrusted to us, and we allow that stone to stand in the way. One last scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." That word is not the word that's usually like phobos in the Greek New Testament for fear. It's a word that means fearfulness and timidity. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fearfulness, but here's what he has given us. He's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, self-control, a disciplined mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given unto us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. Is that right? Take away the stone. Take away the stone. I'll close with this. I'll go back to how I started. Is there a stone of unbelief hindering something God wants to do in your life today? Will you believe his word and believe the promises of God in Christ to you this morning? Could it be that there is a stone of unforgiveness holding back a miracle, holding back healing, a stone of unforgiveness holding back a new beginning? Will you take away the stone and just trust God and release it to him today? Let him handle it. Is a stone of unhealthy fear hindering your ministry, the fullness of what God wants to do in your life today? Will you take away the stone and say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you. I receive your power, your love, and a sound mind. Now help me, Lord, to walk it out." Take away the stone. Can we stand together? I thought about this, I guess, earlier in the week. I just believe today, if you say, "Brother Rocky, I have a stone. I'm not going to interrogate you. That's between you and the Lord. You know whether you do or not. This isn't hard to figure out." Unbelief, unforgiveness, and unhealthy fear. Will you please allow me to pray for you? And so today, I just want to ask, if you want prayer, it's not about numbers, it's about you and the Lord. If you want prayer today, would you just come and meet me at the altar as we roll away? No more stones. We're taking away the stones. We're not going to let anything hinder God's will in our lives. So if you want prayer, would you just come?